Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. It is now or never. And I obviously didn't get a chance to really finish on the Wyoming context as far as counties and why counties are so important. Folks, this just didn't happen to Wyoming. Every state in the union has been affected by this insidious ruling by the bench. And I want to make this very clear, because this article that is coming out, there's a term called justiciable or something like that. And I'm not going to worry about how to pronounce it, because that isn't going to put any, you know, money in my pocket. But there is it's a justiciable, that's what they call the word. Or if you look at it, you go, huh? Anyway, is that a word? Yes, it's a word. And it's a word that basically says it's not worthy of the court. In other words, the court won't do anything about. And the court has deliberately, and this is by design. So just let me take it from this approach. It is the states in their unique differences. Now, they did have unique differences. They created a federal government. And in that federal government architecture was a design that needed to ripple down into the states, but it didn't need to mandate specifically other than these fundamental principles, like your government needed to be divided with a separation of powers. In other words, you needed to have an executive, a legislative, and a judiciary. And this goes all the way down to counties, because what do you have at the county? You have a judiciary. If you're going to have one seat of government, then you need to have the other two branches for the government of the people. Now, you got to remember, and I go through this, you know, with painstaking detail through the Enabling Acts, that the counties were originally created, or I should say the states were originally created by the counties after the Revolutionary War and after the Constitution. So in other words, all new states in the Union, such as Kentucky, such as Tennessee, Vermont, those states that were created, Vermont was actually the first out of the three, and I think it was Kentucky, then Tennessee. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Fact of the matter is that when they created these new states, the counties were the parties to the compact. Now, most people, the framers understood this, but as this started moving down the path and the federal government started managing it, people didn't understand why. You know, and as a matter of fact, even in the federal government, they didn't really understand why the territories are, you know, they did, but they didn't understand the design, why counties were created first, and then you create your state by your counties, because the counties then, as parties to the compact, basically finished the deal by creating a sovereign state, moving that territory into the status of a state. Now, again, when they started doing this, a lot of these little fundamental principles, like, you know, the separations of power and the Republican form of government. In other words, understanding that our form of government in America, based on the constitutional model, is that the sovereigns were to have representation in a general government. In other words, our local county government is not a general government. This is where we actually, on a daily basis or an annual or whenever we do it, we have the power to actually call for. And technically, if your county gets so populated, it needs to be divided by then districts, where the districts kind of function like the county, but they're just sub-elements, because each district would have its own representative, and we wouldn't necessarily have a... But you could. I mean, if you had that great of a population, you could, like King County, like Los Angeles County, those districts could easily be broken down into like miniature states to where the people would then have, but they would still rely upon the county courts and everything else. but they would still be able to have some form of legislative body to protect them. And when you look at how many people complain about the gerrymandering of a county, well, you do, you're starting to see it in conservative areas, conservative counties, like I saw it here in Spokane. So I could easily see how people are starting to complain because Spokane is turning blue. Considering, you know, how constitutional and how conservative most of the people are out here, they've been pushing people from Seattle and other progressive areas in here to take this population center to blue, because population centers is where everything is happening on the progressive end. This is how they're perverting us. But anyway, back to your county. Your county is your government that you don't have, you know, these, it's not a general government. It could kind of become a quasi, a hybrid general government if your county is that populated. And so what I'm putting on the table is, I believe, what the framers gave us in this paradigm so that we would actually have all of the political energies closest to us. And then by establishing a general government at the state that was to guard us from the general federal government and guard our sovereignty to ensure that we weren't being sold out. We're literally being sold out today, folks. And as a matter of fact, I can't emphasize enough, you know, when I look at how much is going on, you know, from the selling of your property to foreigners, the, you know, how they're basically taking away your property rights and all of these things, one can't even come close to saying that that our sovereignty is being protected. You can't say that. The federal government is doing everything it can to ensure that our sovereignty is being taken from us. Because they have been based, they have bowed to the globalist altar. The people that are in office, not the Constitution. The Constitution has never bowed to the globalist altar. As a matter of fact, the Constitution is the biggest threat, along with the truth and individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Those four things is the biggest threat to the globalist movement. But they have basically got people into office and they've been using their money and manipulation because it was all about power. And power first came from money. And as a matter of fact, Joe Kennedy talked about this. Anybody that's ever read anything about Joe Kennedy, the father of John F. Kennedy and so forth, Joe Kennedy became so rich in what he was doing and playing in the markets and so forth. He said he realized that he had so much wealth that he couldn't even spend it all in the rest of his life. He just couldn't. There just wasn't that much to spend on. So he realized that the next step for power was political power, power and control over people. And so, you know, he basically, this is one of the reasons why he wanted the Kennedys to become, you know, a political force. And really was all in on JFK, Teddy, and all of his sons. And so don't think, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are Republicans that are saying, I think it's okay to support this Kennedy guy. Don't think that he is, because I'll tell you something. I believe, because I've mentioned this to others. I've mentioned, as a matter of fact, I've got to get back to Mr. Hawkins because we were talking and I have said that we're going to be fooled by somebody that has a conservative position that we will hand over the realms to, and they will seal our fate. And so Kennedy actually turns, you know, he actually plays out to be that guy. Trump doesn't come across that way because he wasn't pushing us down that path. Now, maybe this was all so well orchestrated that he knew that he was going to be stepped down and possibly come back. Whoever we get in this next year, whoever we get in this next election, in the 2024 election to become our president, we will be aligned very closely to being able to get, because the way I'm looking at things, the outcome of the 24 election will position us so that in the 2028 election, those things that need to be done will be done, and we will be, it'll just be boom, 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 like falling like dominoes, and nobody will be the wiser to this. Why do I say nobody? Because the Bible says that, the deceptive one will fool almost everybody. The very few people won't be deceived. And so this is why we're going through this special game changer type of episode on Mondays. Once we're done with this, I don't want to have to say these things over and over and over again. And I'm going to actually do a go back on, you know, this overall. So why is it that they're committing this warfare and all of that? So I want to get into that before I get into, you know, going through the document itself, because I do have this document up. It is my constitutional minutes that I sent to as many state legislatures that I had addresses to. You want to help me? Make sure that I have all of your state legislators' email addresses. If you live in any state that I don't have, and these are the ones I have, South Dakota, I have Wyoming, I have Montana, and I think that's it right now. Because we just started a new year with this new election, and I've been so busy, I do not have time to pull up your help me out here, your legislative body, both your House and your Senate. I don't have time to go and get those things anymore because I've got to write. I'm helping these different states. If you want my help and you want at least, you know, me start poking these people in the eye, if you want these types of messages to get you to state legislature, just give me a little bit of help and email me info@reclaimingtherepublic so that I can send these constitutional minutes, because I only had time to do two or three this past year. I did not have time to do enough because digital currency and other things kept on popping up. What I'm telling you is that we're going to become so busy because the dark side is going to be throwing and lobbing bombs at us. And many, many people are going to say, we've got to stop this. We've got to stop this. And yeah, there are ways and measures to do that. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to use the Constitution to stop these things. So this is why we need your help. I can tell you that when you start looking at what we're doing and you look at what everybody else is doing, I cannot find anyone coming close to really putting the nail on the head and taking back your county. And this article proves that the Supreme Court backhanded stepped into, because remember I said the word justiciable or whatever at the beginning of this show, and I kind of meandered a little bit. The fact of the matter is, they had no authority. They've actually told us that they can't enforce the Republican form of government. But they came in a back door saying, oh, well, elections and voting we can affect. And with the backhand to all the states, they literally wiped out your county governments, your Republican form of government, by saying one person, one vote principle. And that supposedly became the law where they don't even have any. I challenge anybody to find anyone where they have any voice on how elections are to be done in the state. Now, I want you to understand this. They have footing. They have their toes in the door in the state's business when it comes to U.S. citizens. No state can deny any U.S. citizen the right to vote. Period. So if you're denying it, now they're trying to sneak around by saying, oh, well, you're disenfranchising. There's nowhere where the state has to provide transportation. I mean, the states are bending over backwards to try to do these voter ID requirements for voting. They're bending over backwards by actually creating public transportation to take people to the polls and these types of things. And the court has been absolutely tyrannical in coming after states. Now, the court currently is backed off a little bit. They're not necessarily doing the right thing, but they're not doing the wrong thing at the Supreme Court level per se. But they're not actually undoing all of the evil that they did. When are we going to hear Clarence Thomas come out? This is why they're attacking him, because it was him that talked about the Second Amendment rights. It was him that kind of talked about the Roe v. Wade. I mean, He's the beacon of liberty. Out of all of the judges, he's the guy that I see. Now, I'll be honest with you, I do not spend a lot of time looking at what these guys do, but I can tell by how, when they write their opinions, where the information is, you know, is based. Is it based on, you know, liberty and the Constitution, or is it based on this whole progressive agenda? And they're just doing these side swipes, moving us and keeping us over there. So anyway, Reynolds v. Sims and the other one I mentioned on Friday, Carr something v. Carr, Davis v. Baker v. Carr. Anyway, those two cases gave the court the ability, and everybody believed into this that the court could invoke in your state that your counties no longer matter. Now, as near as I can tell, the federal government cannot dictate. As a matter of fact, the whole premise of the building of the state was done by counties. And, you know, all of a sudden we've become a democracy instead of actually small states creating the bigger state. Have they forgotten their origins? So this is why this article is so important. And if you haven't seen this, then wait, it'll be coming. I'm working on it as much as I possibly can with everything else on my plate. Again, I need your help. This is why I kind of made this plea that if you want me to start sending these constitutional minutes to your state legislators so that you can start doing this, because bottom line, GR is telling you that you have to take a stand. We've got a petition coming. We've got to get this petition. I need your help doing it. Excuse me. We need to get a petition done that demands that your county be recognized in your state legislature, that you restore the framework of the state once again, that the state was built by the counties and the counties are the political center for the people, and that the state was created by them after the revolution, that all states are dependent upon the counties in our Republican form of government, not by the people, because thus making it a democracy, which is a direct violation of the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, this is why we point out in the Wyoming Constitution, there's going to be others. I just don't have the time to go through everybody's Constitution either. I don't have the time to do all this work. That's why I need your help. That's why we need really smart petition writers to do this research so that we can actually start proving to you. And so one of the things that I tell people, you write the petition, your name's going on it. Like the the petition regarding the digital currency that we did in South Dakota, that was done by Patrick Schubert. And so he basically created the model. I helped him. But, I mean, I give the credit to those people who were helping. And if you want to help, start helping in the writing of these petitions. We've already got a few other people. I mean, actually, I can't forget that Paul Venable has helped with a couple of petitions. And we've got, Woody out in Virginia that's doing this. We have other people working on petitions. So the more petitions we have, as I've tried to invoke or tried to help impress upon you, that's a better word. I'm trying to impress upon you that every petition is like a fist punch in the face to a politician, because we're calling them out on their ignorance on the Constitution and how they're not supporting it and how they no longer are entitled to be in office. Okay, so let me just dive into, because I want to do, before I get back into the warfare, I want to give you, because I want to do a good dive into the whole game here so that you can actually take this context of the game, or I should say this globalist agenda, and, you know, go down one very specific path of warfare, and you could start looking at all of the different ramifications. I don't have time to do all of this, but if you want to get involved and help on something like that, there you go, because I'm telling you that you can write a book on almost every single tentacle. And when I talk about tentacles, I'm talking about cultural warfare today. You could do airborne warfare. Maybe not a full book on that, but maybe you could, you know, do a book on a couple of the different tactics that they're using and how each of these tactics have an adverse effect that is all pushing us, or basically these are the means to an end. Remember, that's the globalist or the communist objective, the means to an end. So before I even do that, I actually had a little note that I wanted to kind of, you know, tickle you with. And I find it ironic. I just find it ironic that I'm finding just, you know, over the past couple of years, there's been a flood of pictures on Bing, Google, and all sorts of, you know, the world is huge. But we sure are getting an inordinate amount of pictures showing off China's beauty. Why is that? I mean, you know, we may see a little bit of the United States. We may see a little bit here and there. But, man, there is sure an inordinate amount of Chinese landscapes. And supposedly, what that does is it helps, I think, break you down to go, well, that's a beautiful place. That's beautiful. And as long as you keep saying that China is beautiful, we have to stop looking at the surface. Remember, you know, it's not the beauty, outside beauty is not important. It's what's inside. And what's ruling that country is just terrible. It is evil. I won't doubt that they're going to be coming after me more and more. But anyway, all that being said, you know, because you already know AI and all these other toys and things that they have. They have the ability to, you know, decimate people, or at least go in and create the persona or create the facade, how bad these people are or what have you. But anyway, let me get into what I really wanted to talk about regarding the cultural warfare. But let me start at the top level, because we have to understand the ins and outs of why we are being subjected to this warfare by our own government. Why is the world being attacked by their own governments? It's not just here, but we care about here. Because if here falls, if the United States falls, the world falls with it. And they know that, which is why all of the focus is to make us look bad and to make us, you know, the bad guys in every way they can. Because their goal is to obtain full control of the world. Remember that book that was written by Sir John Robinson, or not Robinson, Robison, The Proofs of a Conspiracy to Destroy the Religions and Governments of Europe. That's the book. It's on my constitutional articles page, Reclaiming the Republic. The Georgia Guidestones, so we understand that they've got this goal. Well, they actually had been so embracing. I mean, when they start telling you what they're doing, it's almost like, have you ever seen a really arrogant pitcher when he's, you know, facing a batter that just, you know, okay, this guy is not intimidating. As a matter of fact, the pitcher, you know, has no respect for this batter. And then the pitcher gets up there on the mound and he starts telling the batter, I'm going to pitch right there on the inside upper part of that plate. So that's where it's coming. You be ready for it. And then he'll pitch, and whatever the pitch is, curveball, slider, fastball, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's baseball season. But, you know, when the pitcher actually points to, it's almost like as arrogant as the batter coming up to the plate and pointing his bat in the direction he's going to hit a home run. Babe Ruth has done that. I mean, this is when you're at the top of your game where you can be that arrogant, where you can actually say, I'm going to do this, and then actually do it because you know you can. So the pitcher, you know, is sitting there saying, I'm going to do this to you right here. I'm going to do this to you right here. The Georgia Guidestones are the exact same thing. This is the arrogance of where they have gotten. So if you've never looked up the Georgia Guidestones, you need to, because there's 10 things that are part of their objectives. And the primary objective that is the very top is depopulation. They come right out and tell us that only a half a billion people, the earth can sustain only half. Now, we're sustaining just fine. You know, this 8, 10, 9 billion, whatever it is, I don't trust the census. But nevertheless, you know, we're sustaining this, and we could do far much better if we weren't being controlled by the globalists in producing food and so forth. We have so much potential. Anyway, we'll be right back after this promo.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Now, I don't know how many people kind of think about, you know, how Lucifer is or, you know, his demeanor, but those who are under him, I could just imagine their arrogance, their pride. I mean, what do they refer to the homosexual movement as? The pride movement. I mean, these are all the all signs of sin. Also, anyway. So their primary goal is to get us down to 500 million. Now, the Bible tells us that 2/3 of the people are going to die. So they're going to be pretty successful. Well, how is it that they're going to do this? Well, so to obtain this, they have to do a few things to actually create this outcome. And so first off, they have to normalize and increase sexuality and sexual perversions, because when you remember, we talk about the consequences of sin all the time. You go down that path, you can't have kids. And if you can't have kids, then why should you be able to adopt children? Because you're participating in a practice that keeps you from doing it, from procreating. Oh, well, and this is how we have been subsidized. When I say we've been subsidizing communism throughout the world, this evil government, there is another way, because with artificial insemination, even though it's for the good, we're now using it for them. You know, they knew going down this path that they would get us there, because they normalize this stuff instead of people actually understanding the government shouldn't be doing these things. Now, I can't say that it's bad that parents have in vitro fertilization and so forth, but I can't get it out of my memory. And the vision I had when I saw David Crosby talking about donating his seed to, you know, to inseminate these lesbians. And I forget all the circumstances, but I'm going, this is how these ideologues are working. And they're that arrogant. They're poking us in the eye and they're saying, we know you can't do anything. Why? Because they have that level of control of government. Now, the Guidestones were placed in the 80s, which means that they had gone to a point, because look at what Nixon did. Nixon, as a Republican president, was so tyrannical, he fixed prices and got farmers to destroy foods. He took us off the gold standard, or actually the gold exchange. FDR took us off the gold standard. But the gold exchange was taken away as well. In other words, you still could go down and actually take a dollar or $5 or $20 and get a piece of gold or silver. And he took us off of that. And then slowly but surely, they moved all of that gold out of America. Now, in other words, he had no authority to do this. The federal government had no authority to do this. And those people who were responsible for, you know, manipulating our government into doing this are the ones that actually need to be tried and hanged, because they're the ones that are actually behind all of this. So if we take America back, we actually have to start, when I say take America back, constitutionally take America back. If we actually get the federal government and all governments in America aligned with the Constitution, then when we start pulling in as new states become territories, we're going to have the opportunity to really clean up. And, well, I know the Lord's going to do this anyway. He's going to clean up. But we're actually going to be able to get to the empirical truth. Because remember, the enemy of evil, this globalist movement, is truth, the Constitution, individual liberty, and individual sovereignty. Because when we have the truth, we can actually deliver justice. When we have the Constitution and individual liberty and individual sovereignty, we can derive the truth. So anyway, so they're normalizing this perversion in sexuality. And again, I'm only drilling into this cultural revolution, right? But it starts off with these types of cultural changes. Sterilizing women is another part of the depopulation, right? Because this is all falling under their warfare strategy of how to get to the 500 million people. So sterilizing women, like what Bill Gates did to Africa, what they're doing with the COVID vaccines and so forth, and maybe even the virus itself, is sterilizing women. Well, what does that do? It makes it so we can't have more kids. And so the next thing that they want to do, or at least the Bible tells us what they're going to do, you know, is the population will grow, will become very immoral, and we will suffer from plagues, pestilence, and of course, the old guaranteed killer, warfare. Warfare here, warfare there, rumors of warfare. To obtain their primary goal of global control, though, they have to do, as everything that they do, they have to maintain and utilize and deploy a level of chaos to keep people from uniting. So, folks, when we actually see people that are dug in on what they're doing, you know, no, you either have to join us because, you know, I'm a John Bircher. We're, you know, we will not work with anybody else. So this is what we're going to do. We're going down this path. Those folks, any folks that take that position, if the John Birchers are taking that position, then they are on the side of evil. They're obstructing, because what this is what we call the broad sweeping application of controlled opposition, which is how it affects everybody by creating chaos, because people aren't willing to unite on the Constitution. I can't tell you, if you are dealing with an organization that can't back out and say, you know what? You know, we need to do these things, because I'll tell you this. We need people that are subject matter experts, but they need to be able to work with all of us. And how can they work with us? By utilizing petitions and by, you know, helping us write petitions. They can be involved in this. Let's use the Second Amendment, folks. I mean, the John Birchers could easily have gotten involved in this, but they've refused. Every time I've approached them, they've always refused. No. That's not important to us. Okay, well, the Second Amendment, folks, we could use them in writing Second Amendment petitions. This would benefit them. This would directly benefit them. But they don't want to bring in any petitions, nor do they want to bring anything that is not under their control and their narrative. Now, if you find a group that's willing to actually support and write petitions and take your petitions to get signatures, and they actually bear fruit. When I say bear fruit, that means that they're coming back with petitions, all of your petitions. So when the Second Amendment group has a meeting, they put the petitions in front of everybody and they get everybody to sign them. If they're not doing that, and as they're teaching people their you know, marksmanship or whatever they're doing, and I'm only focused on that right now, because we can go down into any of these different groups, whether it be, you know, education, whether it be healthcare, health freedom, it doesn't matter. Go into those organizations and say, would you help us? Because you'd think that these organizations would be able to give us a really strong petition, because they should understand the ins and outs of what they're doing and what they shouldn't be doing, especially if they understood the Constitution. And I think that if they start working with us, they'll start getting that, and we could actually write much better petitions. Wow, how powerful would that be on abortion, all of these issues, getting everybody to unite in holding government accountable to the Constitution, you know, and pointing out and demanding that they comply to the Constitution because they're violating it. Wow. See, folks, we would be winning if that was the case. And this is how we'd be educating people on the Constitution. No, but chaos. Chaos is the game. So they create a culture chaos in addition to that. And the culture chaos is created by manipulating societies through manipulating the migration of foreigners globally. I mean, what's going on here in America is we're not the only ones. They have been pushing Islamists into Europe for years, Kosovo and Bosnia. Clinton was a huge advocate for ensuring that this supposedly alleged assertions that there was this ethnic cleansing. As a matter of fact, while he was up in Europe protecting that, the pygmies were actually murdered, a million of them, by the Tutsi, and he didn't lift a finger. When we saw this happening, this was a nightmare. The blood that happened in Africa is on the world's hands because they deliberately turned put their cameras elsewhere. I mean, the news was coming, but why was nobody, you know, going into Africa? Because that was truly ethnic cleansing. Over a million, folks. Over a million. Now, when they showed these mass graves, those weren't mass graves. They did a lot of photo ops and so forth. As a matter of fact, a guy by the name of John Pike on the Federated American Scientists page actually had images, you know, different handheld imagery and so forth of, you know, supposedly mass graves when there was no evidence of it. These things were either, again, phonies or manipulated or managed. But when you really add up how many graves that they could actually substantiate, there was a real absence of ethnic cleansing, not like what was happening in Africa. So why? Why were we actually being manipulated this way? Because by allowing these folks to come in, it gets you engaged and entrenched in fighting these people for your birthrights, for your rights, for your sovereignty, because they come in. And as a matter of fact, I believe there's a scripture. Anybody that wants to send me the scripture, I'll cite you. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy that talks about, you know, when you allow the foreigners to come in, you know, and they start overpopulating you, you will lose. You will become their slaves. That's how they take over. It's in the Bible. The framers knew this. The framers had seen this historically. This is how, and again, it is even a doctrine of Islam. Takia is the doctrine of deceit. It's anyway, forgive me, names and so it eludes me. And it doesn't help with, you know, some of the stuff I have to take and deal with. But anyway, but there is a doctrine on this. And, you know, I guess I can honestly say I probably have a struggle remembering, recalling all of these types of little facts more than people have probably, you know, at least most what kids are learning today. In other words, I'm forgetting and having my, you know, abilities being hindered of, you know, access to all of the stuff in my head more. I have more of an impact of that than what kids are even learning today. They're not even learning any of this stuff. Oh, this feels good. That feels good. Oh, I like that taste. I mean, it's all a carnal world. Anyway, so this is all being done to create hostility. So they create hostility by manipulating societies through manipulating the migration of foreigners globally with a focus of bringing hostile foreigners on our focus into America or into these countries to increase chaos in addition to draining resources. So this is how they actually create the chaos, because there's this addition to draining the resources that they're manipulating our laws to give them access to voting, and this is all done unconstitutionally. The fact is, the Constitution even says that we cannot be invaded, that the United States guarantees that they will protect each state in the Union from an invasion. and they've opened the doors and they're shuffling them around. How is that in compliance with the Constitution? And there's nobody on radio right now that is telling you these things. Now, I can expect that since I've been doing this for years, it's starting to trickle out. There's people are starting to put bugs in these other entertainers here that they might actually do it. But if they do it in context of the Constitution, I'll be shocked. I will be shocked because they're not actually saying that what your Congress must do is demand and deploy the militia to that border and deploy the militia throughout every state to repel the invaders. They're not going to do it because that is what causes the problem, which gives them the money. It's the goose that lays the golden egg. So what else do they do by bringing these people in? They start taking resources by giving them money and welfare. This is all done on, they don't have any constitutional power to hand out money. They do not have any constitutional power at the state level or even at the federal level to take from those who have and give it to those who have not. Show me in your Constitution where your state government basically says that they have a responsibility to take from you to give to those who have less. It's not there. That's what churches used to do. And so they started instituting these programs because federal governments were mandating them. And the reason why you don't see these types of things, you won't even see environment, you know, the controlling of the environment and the management of the environment constitutionally delegated in your state constitution. Why? Well, because the federal government mandated it. We started doing it. Now, I believe that all of these things, because not that having a good control over government would be, or not government, a good control, having good control over government would be good. Having good controls and checks on environmental issues, that seems smart, and we should probably have a constitutional amendment, maybe. But maybe that amendment should actually be done at the county level, not at the state, and not at the federal government. And so you start to see, because, you know, where does it occur? Yeah, it occurs in the state, but it actually occurs in the county, not the state. Because if you say that it occurs in the state, then that's a huge swath of land. But if it's only occurring in this one particular county, then that county, because it's for their own good, that they don't allow those things to happen. Anyway, so they're giving these illegals all of this welfare and assistance for housing and feeding them and so forth. Well, all that does is create inflation. And it creates inflation in so many different ways. And what really got me on this bug, why I'm drilling into this, is because when you hear people talk about labor, inflation, and these types of things, they're not talking about one of the primary causes behind this, other than the fact that the federal government is throwing money at every little problem they're creating. These are all manufactured. That is actually a direct result of inflation. But if you, let's say you throw out $1 billion and you've only got 10 people to spend it, just, you got the Joe Kennedy problem. You can't spend enough. And so, in other words, there's no justification, because what you're doing is you're printing out money and you got a pile there and nobody can spend that. And then you print out another pile. Well, they'll never even get to that. So you have to bring people in. You have to create reasons of spending the money so that you can inflate currency. And this crisis is the portal for them doing this. So let's look at, you know, let's just take an aside here, and let's look at who wins, albeit temporary, who wins due to this invasion. Well, I'm going to just throw it out here. Everybody in the housing industry market sector. Okay, so that means contractors, that means rental management, that means realtors, that even means small governments such as counties and so forth, because as we have this massive expanse, this massive surge, this massive billions of dollars being spent in America on this housing glut, because we're bringing in 40 million people, not billion, I'm sorry. We got 40 million plus invaders now, and they're still coming, and the wave is going to be insurmountable because nobody is demanding that they stop this unconstitutional invasion on our border. Nobody. There's not one person in Congress I've yet heard. And if I am wrong, please send me, and I will recant this. I will just say really a quick blurb at the beginning of my show every day that this person is actually demanding a full execution of the Constitution in repelling these invaders by stopping them coming at the southern border and deploying the militia to do that, as well as removing all the invaders that are in America today. Because that's what the Constitution demands, that they must be repelled. Look up the word repelled. That means kept out, gathered and kept out. So anyway, when we start looking, there's a lot of people. How many people have gotten really rich off of real estate lately? And as a matter of fact, the realtors are starting to panic because you can actually buy and sell property without a realtor today. And as a matter of fact, I'm hoping to talk to a lawyer to actually create, because there is a good movement, because lawyers can do it pennies on the dollar, pennies on the dollar for you. In other words, they will charge you a flat fee and you won't have to have all of these inspections and all of these, you know, parameters that the law, because the lawyers only care about the transaction and the realtors only care about making money, which is why when you look at selling a home with the realtors and you don't even ask questions, everybody gets the two realtor houses get their 3%. Oh, well, that's 6% total for their pockets. But they also have these, you know, this little company on the side called the title company. That's another 1%, 1.5%. And there's all these other little things, like maybe the buyer's loan. You have to provide a little bit of incentive, or, you know, help provide money so that they can get the loan. I mean, it is ridiculous. When I ended up trying to sell my mother's home because I was the executor of her estate, I believe when I did the math, I saved the estate about 10 to 11% total. There's that many hands involved in the selling of a home. And by doing it that way, because I actually could have jacked the price up on this home even more, but I did it that way. It's where the buyer, boom, came in. But they tried to get me to pay 3% on the buyer's loan. And I'm going, are you kidding me? And they go, well, it's not coming out of your pocket. And I go, yeah, it is. But this is how people feel. You don't deserve that money that you spent on buying that home. All of these parasites are getting rich. Now, I think there's people that believe they're really providing a service, but I'm telling you, folks, technology has brought us to a point where you really don't need those services anymore. And so if I have any friends that are in the realtor business, you have to start being honest with yourself when you look at how much money you take from the people that actually made that property, the people that paid for it, bought it, worked for it, and kept that, now they're selling it. You know, do you deserve that much out of their life and pocket and earnings just because you need to exist? We all have, you know, this little how can we put fingers into everybody else's pocket? I may be making one group feel bad, but this happens to everybody. This happens to every market. There's all sorts of parasites in every market trying to make sure that they get their little stipend out of, you know, this transaction or these deals or what have you. Streamlining things and protecting your property is the best thing to do. And so, because when it becomes somebody else's property, we're protecting their property as well. When we protect property rights, then that's the best way to go, instead of allowing people to siphon off your wealth. And so I could go on and on regarding who wins due to this invasion, but this housing crisis, there's lots of people getting rich. Even your government, because all of a sudden they're building more property and it brings the property value up. The shortage, just to have a shortage in the market, helps elevate the cost of property. And so that means that they're making more money. If we stopped this invasion and actually there was no more demand for new property, there was more of an abundance of property already built and so forth, then all of a sudden, property would just drop and government would all of a sudden, because they're spending so much money on things that they have no business spending on because they're outside the framework of the Constitution, they're going to have a deficit and to go, well, we have to tax you more. No. As I tell you, tax season is based on what you're supposed to spend money on, not what you want to spend money on. And this is why we actually, I keep on saying this, when you look at what they're supposed to spend money on, let's get it into the ballpark. Let's get them right into that context of what they have the authority to spend money on. Then all of a sudden, when the housing goes away, or, you know, this whole bubble burst, and we actually stop this invasion, then everything gets reset, and government shouldn't be hurt at all. But they have to be reset as a part of it. And the only way we're going to reset this is by focusing on the county. But what all of this does, as what I'm trying to tell you, is it artificially drives up the cost of renting. It artificially brings up the cost of building new homes and artificially drives up the cost of the materials of building the homes, as well as the labor to build those homes. This impacts even the home improvement costs. So everybody is paying for this invasion. Don't tell me otherwise. It impacts, this invasion also impacts the strains on infrastructure. We now have more people traveling on our roads that is making our roads get depleted. We actually have a drain on our education system. And it, bottom line, this is the one of the bigger factors, because remember that pile of money? Until you have a way of spending it, then, you know, that money's just going to sit there. And it actually could just be taken away and we don't owe it anymore. Oh, but they can't do that. They have to continually ratchet up the debt unconstitutionally so that we can't service the debt, so that this is how we collapse. You have to understand that the financial meltdown that is looming in the, you know, right in front of us, it's coming up, this financial crisis, our government is going to say we can no longer operate under this Constitution. We have to move this direction. It's happening. And the only way we're going to be able to stop this, and I truly believe that we have the opportunity of righteous people, just liberty-loving people. To me, if you believe that everybody should choose for themselves and government needs to be constrained based on the rule of law, that the Republican form of government, which is the rule of law in America, should be enforced, then this is how we save our liberty, and this is how we save ourselves from being dragged into the abyss. Now, the globalists have enough control over the whole world that if America pulled back, you know, they can all, because they're already doing the global feeding, the global killing, all of that stuff. They've already got that plan going. Can we save America? Yeah, we can. But there are a lot of little things that we're going to have to do if, as we take back our government. One of the things, I keep on saying this, you need to start looking at the Tory Acts, and you need to start understanding how the Tory Acts are relevant today. We have so many enemies among us. We need to extradite them. We need to actually basically deport them, because I don't believe we should be killing these people. I just like the framers, they could have easily killed those people that were the British loyalists, because they actually caused death in America. But they didn't kill them. They didn't hang them. What they did was they basically got rid of they took their property and kicked them out and said, don't come back. And that's what we need to do. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. And next week, we will get into the warfare. Have a great week.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.